Well, good morning. We're going to turn to the book of James, and so hopefully you have your Bible this morning, and you can open there to the book of James. I've been preaching through the book of James since I've been at Oakwood, and just kind of slowly making our way through the book. And so today we're going to be looking specifically at chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 18. And today we're talking about the wisdom dilemma. And Lance made my artwork. I think it's awesome. And so hopefully you'll be able to see kind of the graphics that he made. And I'm going to show you from the Word how those graphics line up with the Bible as we talk about this dilemma that is here. And so we're going to be in James chapter 3, looking at verses 13 to 18. Today, I want you to think about evaluating your brain, how you think. Not your literal physical brain, but your spiritual brain, your desires, your heart. What makes you tick as a person? I want you to kind of peel back today, and I want you to be honest with yourself as you look at the Word. I want the Word to speak to you and to me this morning, because I think as James is just a person who lays it right out for us, I think there's some things that we can grow in today, and it's not going to be anything fabulous that I say, but I want the Word of God to speak, because the power lies in the Word. So how's your thought life? How are your desires? I think a little bit as we look at the Word today, they'll be revealed to us. As we kind of go back and think about the first part of this chapter, we see that our thought life often reveals how we speak. And the first part of this passage in James 3, it's talking about the tongue and how we communicate and the things that we say to other people in verses 1 to 12. But here, when we come to this passage in verses 13 to 18, we see how our thoughts and our attitudes, how they come out in our actions, how we live our lives. I call this the wisdom dilemma because a dilemma is this. It's a situation in which a difficult choice has to be made between two or more alternatives. And here's the dilemma that we see specifically from this passage. Is your mind focused on earthly things or heavenly things? Is your mind and your attitudes, your actions, your heart, your inner being of who you are as a person focused on heavenly things or earthly things? One commentator I read called this section the test of wisdom. And we're going to lay the two types of wisdom out today. And I want you to think about who you are as a person. As I think of these types of wisdom, we see really on the chart here, we see two different types of wisdom. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I also want you to think about a garden. I'm not a big gardener, but I know we have some people in here that garden. And so I'm going to show you this first picture of this garden, and you guys tell me what you think of it. This would be the type of garden I would grow. But I want to relate this to our spiritual life. Some of you in this room today, your spiritual life looks like this. Your relationships with other people, they don't look very good. Doesn't look very healthy. This is the kind of garden I want to be in Christ right here. Look at that. I don't know about you this morning and where you are in your spiritual walk, but you can grow and you can thrive in Christ. And I want that this morning for all of us. I want Oakwood to be a church of believers that look like this. That's my heart today. And as I share with you James's heart today, I think that's his heart. If you remember this book, in the book of James, you remember like all the trials that these believers had gone through. They had gone through some difficult times and some hard times in their life. And James is trying to push them toward the right kind of wisdom, because the right kind of wisdom that God is directing us toward here, it doesn't come natural. It's supernatural. As PD has been teaching us about the Spirit, and as you have placed your faith and trust in Christ to be a child of God, the Holy Spirit is at work in you to make you what you ought to be in Christ, so that you can be a fruitful Christian that looks like this, growing and abounding in the work of the Lord and strong in who He is. And that's what God desires for you today. So where are you? I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you this? Or are you this? Be honest. You don't have to share it with any of us. But as we look at the Word and you evaluate yourself based on the truths of the Word, I want you to be honest and say, where am I? And where do I need to grow from here? I just want to say this because I think this is what the passage is saying. And we're going to read it. Actually, I want to read it first, and then I want to make this statement. Let's look at James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. It says this: Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but this is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just pray that you would work in our hearts and lives today. Father, work in mine, because I want to grow to be like you. Father, I just pray that you would encourage and challenge all of us as listeners today, according to your word, and knowing, Father, that the power rests in your word and the Holy Spirit to bring these words to light, to help us to understand how to grow in our faith. Father, we want wisdom from you, and we ask that you would help us to see that today. In Jesus' name, amen. The statement that I want to make that goes along with this passage is that foolishness leads to disorder, but godly wisdom leads to peace and goodness, fruitfulness, righteousness. My main idea this morning is right thinking leads to right living. Right thinking leads to right living, and we're going to dive in here. The first thing that I see from this passage that I want us to talk about is the question that's posed in verse 13. The question about real wisdom. Here's the question in verse 13. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? I'm going to ask that question. Who is wise and understanding here? It's going to give us an evaluation tool to be able to see whether we're wise and understanding. Now, I think this is a great question, and really what it's saying is this. Are you wise in the way that you live? I'm going to look at two key words here. The word wise is the idea of careful application of knowledge directed toward your personal living. So it's knowing what the Bible says and then living according to the word. So true wisdom here that I'm talking about is not just having a bunch of knowledge and having a big intellect, but the wisdom that I'm talking about here is a practical way in how we live our lives, our behavior. It starts, yes, with knowing truth. It also focuses on dwelling on that truth, but then actually practically living out that truth in the decisions that we make every day. So how do we know whether we're a wise person? Well, this passage is telling us that you take what you've been taught from God's word and you live it the way God's word says it. Now, the next word here that we see the word wise, but we see the word understanding. The word understanding is a little bit different because the word understanding is kind of dealing with a specialized knowledge, such as that maybe of a highly skilled tradesman or a professional. You guys understand what that means? I mean, in our culture, we have highly skilled doctors. We have highly skilled nurses. We have highly skilled builders, plumbers, engineers, and they use their knowledge to be able to make money and to carry on the profession that they have. Now, what James is trying to get across here in this word understanding is he is trying to identify who is skilled in the area of righteous living. So he's saying who's wise and who's understanding in righteous living and living that out in their everyday life. That's what he's saying. So this word here is being used of Christians that are highly trained and skilled in living right and using what they have to grow in their faith. You may say, hey, Pastor Ted, I'm a new Christian. I don't know much of the word yet. Awesome. We are glad that you are a child of God. And what I want to encourage you in is to continue to grow in the word. Continue to eat it up. One of the things I'm most excited about as I encounter those of you at Oakwood is you're hungry for truth. I even had a guy come to me last week from Oakwood, and he is just hungry. He wants to know the word. He's like, can you set me up with someone who can disciple me? Because I want to grow. I'm like, yes. This is a new believer, but he wants to grow. Is that you here today? Sometimes, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, and sometimes we can get cold in our faith. We begin to think, I know everything. I've got all that wisdom. I've got all that understanding. And we get a little apathetic to where we should be in our growth process. Don't settle on your laurels if you've been saved for a long time. If you've been saved even for 6 weeks, a year, don't be satisfied. Continue to keep growing. Keep having a desire to grow in your truth, in the truth of God's word. Now, here in this passage, he's telling us this wisdom. He's saying, who's wise and understanding among you? He says, let them show it by their conduct. Let them live it out. Let them demonstrate. Like, sometimes you can stand back and watch and say, man, that person's really wise. They're living according to the word that they have gathered in knowledge, and now they're making decisions in their life that you can begin to reflect that. And so the question about true wisdom is this. Number one is that you begin to show wisdom in your conduct. How do you know whether you have godly wisdom? Well, you can watch your actions. And the thing that we see next from this passage is that you show wisdom by being meek. Now, the word meek is not a word that we use a whole lot in our culture. But the word is power under control. The adjective was often used here of a wild horse that was broken and made useful to its owner. You know, sometimes in situations in life, we can respond with power and we can show them that we're the boss, or we can step back and say, I have the power to show them who's boss, but that's not going to really help the situation or my relationship with my wife in this situation. So I'm going to demonstrate this area of meekness. I'm going to be meek. And so this characteristic of this wise person, they show it in their actions, and they show it in the meekness here. The opposite trait of meekness is pride and arrogance. This word here, meekness, it's a gentleness that is tender, that is gracious. It's mild, even-tempered, not angry. If you were to know me as a kid, and I think I've explained this a little bit, when I was a kid, I was angry little kid. And it went really up into my teenage years. And I think I've told you the story one day where I actually got in a physical fight with my dad, and I grabbed him with like a bear hug, and he fell down, and my head went through the drywall because we both fell backwards. And that day right there, because of my anger, like the Lord began to change me, because I realized, like, what are you doing? That is your dad. How are you treating him? It was like a really humbling day for me, where I was showing my arrogance because I was a teenager and I was big and strong, and I'm like, I could take on my dad. But actually, that day was actually very humbling to me in my life, where I realized I don't have a whole lot of wisdom in the way that I was treating him. And it was really kind of a wake-up call that day. So we see this question that's posed here, but I want to dive into the contrast, the dilemma here. We see that point two is that counterfeit wisdom. This wisdom is from the earth. And it comes right from this passage of scripture in verse 14, where it says this, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your heart." That's what this counterfeit wisdom is. From an earthly perspective, it's kind of like just how you live. It's kind of like how an unbeliever would live. They wouldn't have any restraints on how they go about carrying themselves or even their actions and how they live. But sometimes we, as even believers, can fall into this trap where we begin to live out this counterfeit wisdom. This wisdom is described as like earthly wisdom, the wisdom of man. It would be based on man's standards and man's objective, that man is supreme. The book of Proverbs would call this person a fool. And this is not the kind of wisdom that God wants us and how he wants us to carry out our actions in our lives. In this counterfeit wisdom, we see here the origin. Where does this come from? In verse 14, it tells us that this kind of wisdom comes in our hearts. Now, my big idea today is right thinking leads to right living. And when we think about this word heart in Scripture, oftentimes the word heart and mind are translated very, very similar. And so when we're talking about the origin of counterfeit wisdom, where does this come from? Where does this counterfeit wisdom come from? It comes from our inner man, that heart, that mind, our thinking. And what is our heart? The Bible tells us that we're sinners. And oftentimes, we can continue to feed that sin in our lives even more to make it even come out even stronger. And so this thinking often leads toward actions. This is the way I kind of think of it. This morning, if I were to have two buckets here, and I were to have a clear bucket, and you were to be able to look in it, and I just took like some dirt from outside, some motor oil, and some water, and kind of put it together. It's dirty, filthy, gross water. And we take a sponge, and we put it down in this water. When I wring the water out, what's going to come out of it? Whatever I put in it, right? And I often think about us being like a sponge, like humans, and we put things in our lives, and the things that we think about, and the things that we ponder, and then when the trials come, because this book is all about trials, and when those trials come and the trials wring us out, what comes out is ugly, sinful stuff, because that's what we've fed that sponge all along. And so why do we have conflicts in our relationships with our spouses? Why are we having conflicts with the boss at work all the time? Why are we having conflict with people? Because of what we're putting in us. And then ultimately, when we're wrung out, what comes out is what we've put in. And so this morning, I'm trying to get us to think about, what are you feeding yourself? What are you putting in your garden? And what kind of fruit are you producing? What are you putting in your sponge? What are you soaking up? What is your time spent on, so that when the trials of life come and you're wrung out, that's what comes out? It's anger. This passage tells us that it's bitter jealousy. This word bitter carries the idea of something that's sharp. Are you a person that's almost like, when you're around other people, you're really sharp? You're almost like a knife to them? Are you a person that's kind of like prickly? And the way that you act and the way that you respond in your relationships, so you're kind of like, when you're around them, you're like thorns? Are you a person that's kind of like cutting with your words or even pointed so that you're hurtful? Because this type of wisdom should not be of a believer. This is counterfeit wisdom. These are actions that when it's wrung out, it's not pleasing to the Lord. You might be wondering why your relationships all around you are in trouble. It's because it's what you're putting in your thoughts. It's what you're doing, what you're saturating yourself with, so that when the trials come, it's like that picture that I saw of that garden that's just not very fruitful. And you might, maybe you come here this morning and you've been filling your heart and your mind with that for years. But today you realize, yeah, that's me. That's the kind of wisdom that I've often pursuing because it just comes natural to me, and I want to be different. And so this morning you say, God, I want to confess my sin, and I want to begin to live different and begin to fill your heart and your mind with things that are different so that when the trials come, it looks way different. I got to keep moving here. We see some signs of counterfeit wisdom in verse 15. And so you kind of know that this passage tells us that this kind of wisdom comes from the world. It's sensual. PD has been talking to us about the Holy Spirit, but the opposite of the Holy Spirit is our flesh, like our body. He's used the word sarx, which sarx is the Greek word for flesh. Our natural bodies, because of their sinfulness, they really automatically produce like this counterfeit wisdom because, I mean, we live in a sinful human body. It's wicked. Our thoughts sometimes are selfish and they're pointed and they're sharp, like I mentioned, and they're jealous and they're bitter envy. And so, they come from this. And ultimately, it comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's right in this passage here. And so, this is not the type of wisdom that we want to pursue as a child of God. What's the outcome of this type of wisdom, this counterfeit wisdom? We see in verse 16, it says this. It says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's going to be disorder and every vile practice. If this is the kind of wisdom that you're living in, you're going to have confusion. There's going to be a lot of chaos in your life. There's going to be a lot of baggage. There's going to be a lot of hurts. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to move on. If you're a child of God, move on from this counterfeit wisdom and to begin to say, I want God's wisdom. And that's what we see in verse 17 and 18. We see this real wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. Every believer in here can be a wise Christian. You don't have to go to college and go get a Bible degree. You don't have to get some kind of certificate to officially be in the wisdom from above category. Wisdom is really measured by knowing God's truth and living it with your words and your actions. Living it with your words and actions. There's growth that happens as you take in God's word and as you begin to say, I'm going to live differently. I want to live like this kind of wisdom. And Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all getting, get understanding. Proverbs 1:7, it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, I have a question for all of us. What are you doing to soak in this kind of wisdom? What are you doing to soak in this kind of wisdom? Now, you see here this bucket that I was talking about that was dirty, filthy, and saturated. If I were to take that same sponge and wring it out as best as I could and get all of those impurities and that nastiness out, and I come over here to this other bucket that's just clear, and I were to dip it into that bucket, what would happen to that bucket? It'd probably get a little dirty, wouldn't it? Well, here's what Christ can do. He can take a person like this that has filled their lives with this. And the Bible says that if you confess your sins, that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he can take your sponge and he can clean you up and he can purify you and he can make you a new man in Christ. So that when you say, I want to be changed, I want to have this wisdom from above, I want to begin to fill my heart and mind with this right thinking, so that when I saturate myself with the right things, and we take our sponge, our life, and we begin to saturate it in the truth of God's word, and we begin to saturate it in listening to the Holy Spirit that convicts us of areas of sin in our lives. And we begin to saturate it in areas of prayer. And we begin to saturate it in areas of biblical growth and discipleship and desiring to walk in Christ. When that sponge is wrung out with trials, it looks way different. And that's what we see here from this passage. We see here the source of this wisdom, and the source is from above. The source is God himself. It's where real wisdom comes from. So how can you grow in heavenly wisdom and wisdom that is from above? You're going to seek after God. You're going to hunger for his word. You're going to, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of areas of sin, you're going to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to what you have to say. I want to read this passage in Colossians chapter 3 because it says, if you have been raised with Christ, if you're a child of God, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members that are on the earth, like fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You see, as a child of God now, you live differently. Your desires are different. You begin to feed yourself differently because now you are a child of the King. And just a couple weeks ago, we had a speaker, Jeff, that came in and he was talking about our vertical relationship with Christ. And that's what I'm talking about today. How are you growing in your relationship with Christ? What's your plan? Or are you just kind of like just trying to go with the flow? No, if you want to accomplish something, and I think growing our spiritual life is something that we should want to accomplish, you should have a plan. You should think about it. I want to grow in spiritual wisdom. And so what's my plan? How am I going to do that? This passage continues on. In Colossians, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these things in your relationships, anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and now you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, that's our thinking, according to the image of him who created him. So this morning, I want to go back to the same question. How's your thinking? How's your desires? Right thinking, godly thinking, leads to godly living. So we see the source of real wisdom, that it's God and his word. We see the signs of real wisdom, and there's a lot of them here. I'm going to go through them quickly, But in verse 17, it says this, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So how do you know whether you have this godly wisdom? Here they are. As a believer, you're desiring to live pure. You want to live a holy life. You want to live in a way that is glorifying to God. The second characteristic that we see here in verse 17 is peaceful. In your relationships, do you have a lot of fights going on with people? Or are your relationships peaceful? It says here that this heavenly wisdom is a person who is a peacemaker. If any of you have taken my class on the Wednesday night equipping groups, there's this chart that I show right from the very beginning, because biblical peacemaking is kind of in the middle, where you desire to make peace with everyone. You want to live right with people. On the chart over here is what they call peace breaker. It's a person who wants to fight all the time. It is all about themselves. And so everywhere they go, it's just one big fight after another, because they make it all about them. Rather than biblical peacemaking, they're peace breakers. And then on this other side of the chart, it's kind of like this circle chart like this, where you have peace breakers, peacemakers, which is the biblical concept here that we're talking about, this kind of wisdom. And over here we have this title called peace fakers. Some people act like there's peace, or they just dodge people, but they're really not at peace with people because they just act like there's peace. It's like peace faking, though they really don't have peace. God wants us to be, in true wisdom, he wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to be peacemakers. He also, one of the characteristics or the signs of this godly wisdom is someone who is gentle. I know, it's kind of interesting. The idea carries a considerate or patient with people, often when they are wronged through trials or persecution. And that's what James is saying here. This kind of biblical wisdom, this wisdom from above, it's pure. It's peacemaking. It's gentle. It's teachable. The idea here in verse 17, this idea of teachable wisdom, is the idea of being open to reason from other people. They're willing to yield without running their mouths. And you see this in Proverbs, they listen, they heed instructions, they're compliant, they're willing to listen, to yield instructions, not stubborn. Have you ever been in a debate with someone who is a jerk? They're not willing. I mean, you could present a really good argument, and you're probably actually right, but they're so arrogant and proud that they will not listen to anything that you have to say because they're going to be right regardless. You know what that is? The Bible calls that earthly wisdom. It calls it foolishness. There's times where we need to listen to other people. There's times where we need to be teachable. We don't have the answers to everything. If you do, that's arrogance. It's proud. We need to listen. We need to be teachable. And if that's you this morning, I encourage you to listen to what James has to say and to grow in this area. He continues on. He says, this type of wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, it's full of mercy. What I see here is a person that's changed by the Spirit. This kind of wisdom comes from above. It's not this natural, earthly, demonic, fleshly wisdom. This is godly wisdom. It's a person who's full of mercy. It describes the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, where the Samaritan, he says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring oil and wine. And then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and he gave those to the innkeeper, saying, hey, can you take care of him? And whatever more you spend, I'm going to come back and I'm willing to repay. That's the type of mercy here that this wisdom is talking about. Does this describe you? Does this describe you and the wisdom that you have? Pure, peacemaking, gentle, teachable, full of mercy, full of good fruits. You know, as we think about our thinking, we think about our desires. This morning, we probably have some room to grow, all of us, in this. It continues on, and it's talking about wisdom that's unwavering, impartial. And it talks about wisdom that is without hypocrisy. It uses the word sincere, like you're real, you're authentic, like you're a Christian who is, like, what you see is what you get. Like, that's me. What's the outcome here of real wisdom? This is important. The outcome of real wisdom is found in verse 18. It says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So what kind of harvests are you producing as you look at your life and your wisdom? Are you producing a harvest that looks like this in your interactions with other people and how you carry yourself in your choices? Or are you producing a harvest like this? I know what I want to be. And I ask God to help me to be a man of fruit, to be a man that's changed, to be a man that's just saturated with God's wisdom. And I don't know about you today, but in your relationships with other people, you need this too. So is this you? Or is this you? Is this you? Or is this you? What kind of harvest are you producing in your life, in your relationships? What kind of wisdom are you producing? Heavenly wisdom or worldly wisdom? I want to leave you with a couple questions for you to ponder and think about. What kind of wisdom influences your decisions? Earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? How do you handle conflicts or disagreements? With bitter envy, prickly, or gentleness, purity, peacemaking? What does wisdom look like in your life? Does it look like it's from heaven, or does it look like it came directly from you? Are there areas in your life where selfish ambitions are guarding your actions? How can you cultivate a spirit of humility in your relationships, in your decisions? How can you do that? I think it's by saturating yourselves in truth. Do you seek wisdom in prayer and through Scripture? Or do you have some other source that you seek wisdom from? That's my challenge to all of us today. I stand here this morning saying, God, what do you need me to do? I want to grow in this area of wisdom, and I pray that that's your heart too today. Let's pray. I'm going to have the music team come up and close us in prayer this morning. Close us in song. Let's pray. Dear Father, I'm so thankful here for your word, and Father, it's convicting to my heart, and I ask that you would help us, Father, as a church, to continue to grow in wisdom, that is from above, and that we would desire to grow in you. Father, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you as Savior, we pray that you would just continue to work in their heart and mind. Father, help us to be like you. Help us to grow in these areas of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.